a linebacker, and a man of leisure.
This doesn't even make sense.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
One of our dear friends, Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, joining on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Chris, before we get into the Cavs and the NBA opening up and what you're hearing on that front, did you watch the Last Dance in completion?
Oh, yeah, absolutely so.
I figured you did. What were your what did you take away from that now that you've seen it in totality?
So it's interesting because I don't feel like anything was really that revelatory, except for the fact that it was interesting to me that Michael was shown in that kind of light. You know, for so many years, it seemed like he was a mythical guy, and we knew what he did. And I don't think that we had a lot of answers on why he was the way that he was and why he was able to do the things that he did throughout the course of his NBA career. And I think we got more answers on why in terms of who he was as a person. But the stories about Dennis Rodman and the stories about Scottie Pippen and Kukoc and all the other things that they explored in that documentary, I feel like had been covered in the past or had been written about in the past. So to me, my big takeaway was just Michael the person, because I don't think we got that window into him any other time throughout the course of his career.
Chris,
no,
Yeah, I just want to stay on that note. Chris, this is Matt joining in, filling in for James. Thanks for hopping on, man. Chris, I just wanted to ask you about, because we've had this so many conversations about LeBron and Michael Jordan and all that stuff and just the different eras of basketball. But when you go back to that time and look at the way MJ kind of just came onto the scene and he was just this high-flying deal, like, Chris, in my eyes, I do think Jordan could play well in this era. Now, I don't know if I'm going down that he's going to score 50 points a game and all that stuff, but I'm in the camp of I think his game transitions really, really well, and we have Michael Jordan in that conversation of easily one of the top five NBA guys in our league right now. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, guys, I think if you're talking about the greats of the game, the ones that are in a different era, different class, I think they can be successful in any era. If we're talking about LeBron James as one of the greatest of all time, why would I limit what he can do in one era, right? Otherwise, why am I having the conversation as him being one of the greatest of all time if I don't feel like he can play in the 80s or the 70s or whatever the case may be? So I think when we talk about MJ, he had such a complete game offensively and defensively. His game wasn't just predicated on athleticism. It had a mix of skill. It had a mix of, like, at the end of his career, when they finally implemented the three-point line, he became a respectable three-point long-distance shooter. And early on in his career, he didn't have that. So when you see the evolution of his game from when he came into the league to the end of his time and all the different facets that he had, I think he could play in any era, and I think he could be dominant in any era, because I didn't see too many weaknesses from MJ when he played.
No. Very, very few. Chris Fedor, our good buddy, Cleveland.com, joining us here. Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, so from the NBA perspective, where do we stand now? How much pressure is there as the clock continues to tick on the calendar?
I feel like Bo and Matt, they've been very, very careful about not putting that clock on it. And I think they want to have as much information as possible to try and make this as safe and as smart as possible when it comes to the players, when it comes to the executives, when it comes to everybody involved. So from the very beginning, the NBA said, we're not going to rush into a decision. We're not going to make a hasty decision and then regret that decision that we make. And I think we're in the same spot. The NBA is paying close attention to what Bundesliga looks like and how that's going to go for them in the restart of that soccer league. They're looking at the Premier League. They're looking at the KBO. They're taking all of this information, and they're trying to come up with the best plan for them, understanding that not every league is the same, not every situation is the same. So I just don't think that there's a huge rush for the NBA to make a decision. Obviously, when they started this entire process, they felt like it was going to be an 18-month plan, knowing that 2020-2021 was going to be impacted somehow, some way. And I think that's the right way to look at it. I think that's the mature way to look at it. And I think if they feel like this country and the league itself gets to a point where testing is so available that they can do it in a safe way, and they can keep the players healthy and protected, I think they would love to restart the season. I just don't think the country's in that position, so I don't know how the NBA could be in that position.
Chris, you know how real chemistry can be, especially at the how real chemistry is needed at the latter portion of the season, and we were kind of turning the corner and eyeing the playoffs here in the association, man. So I wanted to ask you, because of all this, this layoff that's happened, when you look at these teams that were kind of maybe slotted in that playoff window right now, is there a team or two that you look at and say, this could actually have helped them, or is there a team out there that you look at the top of the list or in the playoff missing and say, ooh, that the timing of that wasn't right for them?
I think Milwaukee is going to be impacted the most from a negative standpoint, Matt and Bo, because there's so much about chemistry, team ball, camaraderie. They were on such a roll. And some of their best players, they aren't at the same status in terms of LeBron and Kawhi. And I say that not from a standpoint of where they are as basketball players, but where they are in their careers. Like, LeBron has access in his house to a basketball court, right? He can right. do different things, and Giannis doesn't have access to that sort of stuff, right? Chris Middleton doesn't have access to that sort of stuff. So I think they're a little bit behind from a basketball form standpoint, if that makes sense. And the teams that I think are helped the most, beyond the ones that have guys like LeBron and Kawhi and things like that, I think they're the ones that were dealing with injuries that kind of clouded what they were going to be able to do going into the postseason. Philadelphia comes to mind. Ben Simmons is probably going to be back healthy. That's a huge boost to a team like Philadelphia. Who knows? Maybe Brooklyn is now a dangerous first-round matchup if we get into a playoff environment because Kyrie's going to be back and healthy potentially. So some of those teams that were dealing with injuries that kind of made it a little bit uneasy for them, I think they've benefited greatly.
Chris, I'll get you out of here on this one, but in your view, what is, if you had to bet the vast Fedor estate on what this thing is going to look like, what would your bet be? Because we've heard a lot about quarantining in Vegas or Orlando and keeping people there. If there's basketball and there's a finish to this season, what do you think it'll look like?
Yeah, so I think it's going to look like a campus-like environment, like you mentioned there, Bo. I don't know if it's going to be Orlando, Houston, Las Vegas, somewhere that has the space and the facilities to do that. I think the more people that you talk to in and around the NBA, they seem to point to that being the most safe and healthy way to do it, is that quote-unquote quarantine location. So I think it's going to be that. No fans, for sure, I would say that. And I think there's going to be some semblance of a regular season. I've continued to say that. There are people in the league that continue to push back on that. But just, it's such a different game when you talk about playoffs and regular season basketball. And to take these guys and have them be off for 2 months, throw them into a 2 or 3 week training camp and say, all right, here come the playoffs. The intensity, the physicality, the competitive environment, I just think that's a dangerous game to play. I think they open themselves up to a lot of criticism, a lot of injuries, a lot of bad basketball from an aesthetic standpoint. So I don't know if it's going to be fully finishing these regular season games, but I think there's going to be some semblance of regular season before postseason basketball. And I do think at some point, I don't know when, I think at some point this league is going to finish the season because there are so many people involved that want that to be the outcome. And there are so many smart people that they've brought in to make it so that they can make that the outcome.
He is Chris Fedor. He is with Cleveland.com. Simply put, he is one of the best. Thanks, buddy.
You got it, guys. Anytime.